And Paul's like, you want credentials? The ministry of the Holy Spirit active in my life and through the church, this is what verifies the reality that God is at work. The person, the power, and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Wow, we love the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. We adore the Holy Spirit. We pray to the Holy Spirit. We need Him to do what only He can do.
Welcome to Live in the Light. I hope you are having a wonderful day today, wherever you are joining us from. My name is Shannon, and you are in studio with us today in a series we have called Strength in Weakness. We are walking together verse by verse through 2 Corinthians and learning so much from the life of Paul. Today's message is called Credentials for Ministry, and we are at the beginning of chapter 3, where Paul's opponents are criticizing his character and his authority. But he isn't defending himself with a college degree or a standardized test. He is standing up with the power of the Holy Spirit. Want to learn more about Paul's credentials for ministry? You are in the right place. Open your Bible with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and we will get into it together.
It's so important as you're reading God's word that you would be so aware of the power and the impact, again, of why Jesus Christ had to come and what he accomplished when he did. Forget tablets of stone. Now we see written on tablets of human hearts where lives are changed forever. More to come on that as we go through too. Credential number two, Paul says this, our sufficiency rests entirely upon God. Our sufficiency rests entirely upon God. Look at verse 4 now. He says, such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. Now, this argument is stemming from chapter 2, verse 16, right? If you look from last week, Paul says, who is sufficient for these things? He introduces this topic of sufficiency, and the answer is on our own. No one is sufficient. No one is sufficient on our own. And Paul here is now touching on a major theme of this letter in 2 Corinthians. Which is what? Which is strength in weakness. It is his weakness that leads to, again, to know the strength of God. You know what Paul's saying here? Paul's like, listen, one of my main credentials is weakness. Okay? The Corinthian culture mocks that, just spits at that, hates that. But the reality is, one of the main credentials of any genuine Christ follower is weakness. Why? Because genuine weakness leads to dependency, and dependency leads to sufficiency in the Lord alone. Again, the city of Corinth was filled with arrogant, self-sufficient, self-promoting, self-glory-obsessed people. That was the culture. The false teachers were enthralled with their own wisdom. They were enthralled with their own strength and their own importance. And evidently, as you read 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, this type of thinking of self-sufficiency, self-boasting, self-arrogance, self-wisdom was creeping into the church. But this, again, is one of Paul's secrets, which is what? He knows his entire sufficiency is found in Christ. That's a major, major principle and point right now. Major. Paul understands his confidence is in the power of the Holy Spirit. His competency is not derived from self. It is rooted entirely at the end of the day in the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things I've taken lots of time to do over the 2.5 decades or more of being a disciple of Jesus Christ and in leadership again in the church is I've taken account of some of the greatest servants in history for Christ based on fruitfulness and based on reputation and credibility again through their lives. And I've tried to map out what are the common characteristics of the most fruitful servants for Christ in history. Fascinated by that. What are the things that they all kind of have in common? Different places, different parts of the world, different ministries, whatever. But when you study the lives of some of the greatest saints in history and the fruitfulness of their lives, without fail, like without fail, man, woman, doesn't matter. They will all have at the very foundation of their lives a humility that is rooted in dependency on the sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ. Like without fail, this happens in every single leader who is used. This is why, again, for us here at this church, the greatest characteristic that we look for in people, young people going into the ministry, or people in general who want to be leaders for the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest characteristic we look for at the start is a dependency on the sufficiency, again, of the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to hear this right now too. You're a young person, or you're any person right now, and you want the Lord to use you. The single greatest credential you bring to the table, you got to hear this, and you got to believe it by faith. The single greatest credential you bring to the table is your dependency upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you are truly dependent and you understand that only Christ is sufficient, this is Paul. This is everything he is. This is all over Scripture. This is what he does. I mean, I read this morning in Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, they were made strong out of their weakness. I just read that this morning again, and that made it into my journal today. It made it in because it's just everywhere in Scripture. I just can't believe it, how much we are told and are learning all the time. It is the weak that God fills again with his strength. And this is why what's sometimes so frustrating, but at times it's so common. I've encountered this many times over many years. You encounter a young man, let's just say young men right now, it could be women too, but young men going into ministry, or they're in ministry, whatever, and I call it young men syndrome. And you have these young men that are in Christ for a couple of years, they're in ministry, and they get excited about a couple of things, and they should be excited, but the reality is it seems to go to their head, whatever it is, and all of a sudden they have all the answers. It drives me crazy. They come in my office sometimes, and they've been preaching for zero. And they start telling me how to... Everything, I'm just like, even if you think that, I would never say it. Like, I would just never, never say it, even if I think that. They have all the answers. They become unteachable often, and they have a prideful ambition. There's a part of it that's so good, and like zealousness is great, and the zeal's important, and the passion, whatever stuff. But then again, it's like, so what happens to a young man or woman that has young man syndrome? Well, at the end, what God loves them enough, he's going to break them. And he does break them. And sometimes I'm like, come back to me in 10 years. And you know what? They have. Why? Because I had to go through this too, right? It's amazing. God loves us enough to break us, because if we don't understand that our dependency and sufficiency is him, we cannot be used by him. This is why Martin Lloyd-Jones said this. Martin Lloyd-Jones says the worst thing that can happen to a man is for him to succeed before he is ready. Right? Why? Because if you can't handle the success, it's going to ruin you. It's going to ruin you. And it does ruin some when they're not. But if you have a foundation, right? See, like, if we're not dependent upon the Lord, if we don't see him as sufficient, then we're automatically, theologically, way out of whack. Like we're automatically moving apart from where the Lord would have us and in his will. It is so utterly clear, that dependency, again, upon the Lord's sufficiency. It is the most important credential we bring to the table for anyone who wants to be used, whether a pastor, leader, or just, you know, someone who wants to bear fruit for Jesus Christ. It's apart from Christ, we can do nothing. This is why Joel Stoll said, leaders fall when they stop following. Leaders fall when they stop following. When you stop following, you stop depending. When you stop depending upon the Lord, then you're sufficient in of yourself. If you're sufficient in of yourself, then again, you're in massive, massive trouble. It's hard for me to stress how important this principle is. Everyone, men, women, children, it's so difficult for me to overstate what we're talking about right now. Paul's like, listen, you want a credential? My credential is my sufficiency is in God. My credential is that God is the only one who made me sufficient to be a minister of a new covenant. That's coming in just a little bit. Again, it's so much. Men, like your plan, your path. And why do I address men so much? Because I just have a heart for men. And the impact of your leadership that impacts your family and friends and people around you and workplace, whatever it might be. Men, you wake up in the morning, you wake up in the morning and your theology of dependency rooted in the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. You wake up in the morning, the first thing you do is you get low. You get low. You bow yourself before the Lord. You open the word. You humble yourself. You get your heart. You posture in prayer and say again, God, I cannot do this without you. I'm telling you, man, I'm telling you again, this is the path to blessing. Pride rules our world. Pride is everywhere. And there's so many men and women so filled with pride, walking around thinking you can. And the world says you can. The Bible says you can't. The Bible says you can't. The Bible says you have nothing to offer in of yourself, that we need the Lord for everything. We need him to allow our heart to beat. We need him for our lungs to breathe. We need him for the synapses in our brain to function. We need the Lord, not to mention everything else spiritual. I'm telling you, you wake up and you believe this and you get low before him and say, God, I need you to fill my life this day. I cannot do this without you. That is the path to blessing. The world looks and scoffs. The world looks and mocks. The world looks and just ridicules. We don't care though, because our sufficiency is from God. You're good. You're good. Women, the fear of the Lord is the path to blessing and radiance in Christ. The greatest beauty, women, you will ever behold, again, is the beauty of Jesus Christ. You can focus on external stuff. You can go with the world. You can try to beautify yourself in all these different ways. But when Jesus Christ makes you beautiful, wow, you will be noticed. And you will be noticed by him. And you will be radiant in his sight. And you will be precious. And you will convey a beauty that the world cannot possibly understand. It's rooted in dependency and the sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ. Young person, you want a path of blessing? You better start depending. You better start getting low. There are no exceptions to this. Robbie, why do you get so passionate about this? Because it's everywhere in Scripture. I am just blown away time and time and time again. God opposes the proud. He gives grace to the humble. I mean, even today, I'm in Luke chapter 1. Mary's Magnificat, just where I am in my readings. Mary's Magnificat. God, you exalt the humble and you tear down the proud. It's like in thousands of different places in Scripture, all over the place, the reality. Again, in Proverbs today, again, those who fear the Lord, they will be honored in humility and honor in the Lord as well. Again, everywhere I go, God says, listen, the proud I oppose, but the humble I exalt. See, I keep reading my Bible, and I'm just convinced on a daily basis. And this is the thing too, right? Just like how many of us are reading our Bible regularly? How many of us are reading our Bible regularly? Like we have to, like... Okay, man, if you want to be used, like if you want God's blessing, you have to seek the Lord. Like I'm pleading and begging, right? It's just a matter of understanding. Like he doesn't bless people that ignore him. He doesn't bless people that don't need him. You know what I'm saying? Like he blesses people that cry out to him, like Paul saying, my sufficiency is in Christ. And that's why, again, that's why we have a prayer meeting this Wednesday at 7 p.m. Why do we pray as a church? Because of this. Right? Churches that don't pray send messages to God. Thanks, God, we don't need you. Pastors who don't pray are communicating to God. They don't need him. Marriages that don't pray are communicating to God. They don't need him. That's really dumb theology. Good theology says we need God for everything. So this Wednesday, what time is it again? This Wednesday at 7 p.m. Thank you. I almost forgot. Okay. 7 p.m. this Wednesday, we pray as a church to live out that our greatest credential is dependency in God's sufficiency. If we don't pray, something's wrong. That's why we do it. It's what we have from the very beginning. And I beg God that we'll continue to do it all the way till the Lord returns. The credential that God is our ultimate sufficiency, which is shown again in our legitimate and true dependency. I just can't communicate this enough. Orangeville's listening right now. Who's there right now? Like you have to hear in the overflow. Like just again, this is so massively important. Let me say again, there is no saint in history used of God who doesn't build their life on this principle. There is not one. So you're not gonna be the first, okay? You're not gonna be the first to bear fruit for Jesus Christ and somehow not depend on him fully. Oswald Chambers summarized all this. He said this, God can achieve, listen carefully, God can achieve his purpose either through the absence of human power and resources or the abandonment of reliance on them. All through history, God has chosen and used nobodies. Why? Because their unusual dependence on him made possible the unique display of his power and grace. I just don't want to go quickly here because I want you to get this. He says he chose and used somebodies only when they renounced dependence on their natural abilities and resources. Wow. See, this is how the Lord works. And this is how he will continue to work. Again, as long as Jesus Christ does not return, this is how it's going to go. This is the credential of being used by God and seeing his blessing, our dependency upon his sufficiency within our lives. Credential number three, our ministry is lifeless without the Holy Spirit. So therefore, the Holy Spirit is the power that authenticates and shows the credential of our ministry. Look at verse 6 now. He says, who has made us sufficient, this is amazing, to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. So let me just say this in the first half of verse 6. Notice the awesome, incomparable privilege of gospel ministry. Paul says God has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant. Isn't that amazing? Ministers of a new covenant. This is the astounding call to be used by God to preach a message of the gospel, declaring a new covenant that offers eternal salvation from God to man. I mean, that's a lot I just said there. Let me break it down this way. So this is what God's basically saying. God's like this to Paul. God says to Paul, Paul, I'm going to save you. I'm going to put my Spirit in you. I'm going to use you, and I'm going to announce through you this message of the gospel, Jesus Christ, new covenant, that people would be brought back into eternal relationship with me and saved from death, hell, wrath of Satan, and again, condemnation forever. Paul, I'm going to save you, redeem you, use you, and then announce through you this message of the new covenant gospel ministry. Unbelievably awesome. That's incredible to me. God chooses to use us in the process. The privilege made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant. I remember like when I was first saved, okay, like overwhelmed, the sin of my life, overwhelmed in extreme ways, the grace, mercy, and love of God. I just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it that he would save a sinner like me and wash me clean. It's unbelievable. It's just like, you can never lose that. I remember though, so I'm just like, I'm saved and say, wow, and I'll just be in a posture of learning my whole life and just, you know, here I am. I'm just so good. That made sense to me. And then the first time I remember I was actually officially used by the Lord, I was at a camp and the camp director asked me to share my testimony. I'm like, me? You gotta be kidding me. And I stood up and somehow I remember I was just like, stood up and 300 leaders there at this camp up north and shared my testimony, just bumbling and stumbling through whatever. But by God's grace, at the end of when I was done, it was very evident that people were encouraged by something I said about Jesus Christ. I remember I was absolutely flabbergasted. I could not believe it. Wait, I'm not only saved in Christ and all my sins are washed clean, but now in all my past and sinfulness, you're willing to use me to encourage others that they might love Jesus. It was too much. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. Makes us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant. Just incredible grace and love what God provides and brings. It's so humbling and so awesome and so encouraging. How are we spending our lives right now again with him? Notice in verse 6, notice it says, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Notice. The power of this covenant, he's saying, is not, listen carefully, pay attention, okay? Is not by the letter, but by the Spirit, right? That's the game changer there. Why? Because the letter, right, is what? Is the old covenant law. The letter is the old covenant law. The law, now, the law under the old covenant was good. And the law under the old covenant, listen, was essential. Why is the law and the old covenant essential, right? And why is it good? Because it's the law that is used to expose our sin and reveal our guilt. Charles Spurgeon called the Ten Commandments the ten black horses, right? That rode to reveal the reality of his sinfulness, and now we know we need to be saved. See, if we try to communicate the gospel with just the love of Christ and not revealing someone's sin, they don't know why they need to be saved. This is the role of the law. It is used to expose the reality that we are sinners in need of a Savior, but the law by itself cannot save. We need, again, something to go beyond the law, which is why the new covenant was so necessary. This is why the text says the law by itself kills. Why does the law kill? Well, the law shows us our sin, and the wages of sin is death, right? So the law kills because we see our sin, but then we see that because of our sin, we die, right? So it's essential, but we need something to go beyond the law, which is why Paul now refers to the Spirit. The Spirit gives life. This is the reality of the new covenant by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, listen, applies the finished work of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit does this in what the law could never do. The Holy Spirit, again, finishes what the law could never do. Paul has a great, great verse on this in Romans 7. Look at this. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. In fact, let's just put up, let's do the color. There it is. Woo, look at that. I love this, man. I love this. You know how much I love this, okay? So this is the word of God, and just look what it reveals, right? So while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, right? Look at like the law, aroused by the law. What a term that is, right? The law reveals our sin and guilt. This is the function of the law. We're at work within our members to bear fruit. So the sin in our lives bears the fruit of death, okay? The wages of sin is death. But now, transition, new covenant, right? Right? In verse 6, but now we are released from the law, right? Having died, we died to our sin with Christ, right? We were buried with him, raised from the dead with him, which held us captives. We have freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the result. So that we serve in the new way of the Spirit, new covenant, and not in the old way of the written code, which is another term for the law or the letter, which brings us death. I really like this. And I hope this makes sense to you. Like, God's word is awesome. I've said it already this service. Like, are you reading your Bible? Are you seeking the Lord? Are you seeking the Lord for the Lord? Are you pursuing him because you love him and you need him? You see, when we know we need him, we go to him. If we don't think we need him, we don't. We don't. If we don't need him, then we don't go to him. But when we know we need him, look at what he's done for us. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And that phrase, the letter kills, let's go to the next slide here too. This just thrilled my heart this week, okay? This is verse 6. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. What does that mean? Well, Exodus 32, Old Covenant, Sinai, Law, Golden Calf, and Death. Look what happened. Moses up on Mount Sinai comes down, people made a golden calf, God's judgment comes, right? Because they are not able to obey by themselves. About 3,000 men of that day, people fell. Why? Old Covenant, Sinai, Law, they could not obey it themselves. They sinned, and the judgment was death. Look at this. Acts 2, New Covenant now. Pentecost, grace, Holy Spirit, and life. Peter stands up to preach the first sermon, and 3,000 people are brought to Christ. The law kills. The Spirit gives life. The law is essential to reveal our sin. Only in Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross and his resurrection from the dead and the reality of the giving of the Holy Spirit that causes us to become new creatures in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what is so needed that we might have everlasting life. I really, really pray some light bulbs are going off right now in this place that maybe you've never understood this. Maybe for the first time ever, you can see again that you need Jesus Christ to be the one again to save you and set you free. You see, the law by itself, the law without the Spirit is what is legalism. It's a bunch of rules we can't ultimately obey. Try to convince ourselves we can, but that's devastating because that leads to death. Some of us grew up with all law, no Spirit. All law, no Spirit, again, is devastating. It, again, results in death. And this is why the ministry of the Holy Spirit, Paul's like, you want credentials? The ministry of the Holy Spirit active in my life and through the church, this is what verifies the reality that God is at work. The person, the power, and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Wow, we love the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. We adore the Holy Spirit. We pray to the Holy Spirit. We need him to do what only he can do. Whether it's today or an hour from now or next week or whatever, the Holy Spirit's everything. Man, you Spirit and truth people. This, by the way, some people want to interpret verse 6. So forget the word. It's all about our experience. That's the last thing Paul's communicating here. That's the last thing the Holy Spirit is communicating here. Let's not forget the word. The Holy Spirit wrote the word. It's all about the word. It's the new covenant that's revealed by the Spirit of God, again, to show us it's the new covenant that fulfills the old. The old and the new are not enemies, by the way. The old and the new are beautiful friends. The one fulfills the other. The old covenant points to the new covenant, and the new covenant fulfills what the old covenant could not do. They are not enemies. They are beautiful friends that have allowed us to see the promise of everlasting life for those who have truly embraced the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's like, you want credentials? I'll show you credentials. Pulls out his wallet and flips the cards on the table, okay? And he's like, supernatural transformation, God-given sufficiency. And here we see again, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Those are the credentials that I bring to the table. And I think Paul says, maybe not exactly in the word, but he says to his leaders or to his detractors and his opponents, he says, put that in your pipe and smoke it. That's what I think he says. Because the reality at the end of the day, what else does he need? What else does he need? These are the credentials that God has given to him and trusted him with. And these are the credentials that change again people for everlasting life. The credentials for ministry. I'm telling you, man, if you see these and you get them and you build your life on them, you will be blessed. It will not be easier. It'll be so much better. You see, I'm pleading and begging for people again to pick up what the Lord is putting down and to understand this is your path. It's my path. It's my path. It's my path. It's the elder's path. It's the church path. It's your path. It's your path. It's your path. There are few. Listen, there are few. There are few that take up this path seriously. There are few in our Western world that do this. But I pray that you will be found among the few. It doesn't mean every day is going to be easy. It doesn't mean every day you're going to ride this mountain. No, no, no. Lots of days we're struggling. Lots of days we fail. Lots of days, again, we struggle. Lots of days we're wandering. Lots of days it's difficult. But get back up. Proverbs says the righteous falls 7 times and rises again. That's what the Lord does. Rises again to put their sufficiency and dependency again in the Lord Jesus Christ. What would happen if we live this out? What would happen if more of us live this out? It'd be exciting, man. Like, what happened if men live this out? What happened if men live this out? What happened if marriages live this out? What happened if young people live this out? What happened if friends live this out? Like, what happened if it stopped being about our effort and strength and it truly became about the Lord's? What would happen? And you'd see a lot of power of God in our midst. You'd see a lot of renewal, and dare I say, you'd see revival. God works in those who proclaim and declare that they need him. It's that simple. And that's what we get to do right now. Church, would you join me? Would you join me? Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, help us to pray right now as you would have us. Help us to feel as you would have us feel, Lord, even the weight, the reality, the opportunity, the blessing, the faith. Father, break us of self-sufficiency and self-dependency, self-reliance. This ourself, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. I pray instead, men, women, children, filling with faith of dependency upon you. Yes, Lord, I pray as we respond even now, there'd be faith rising and humility growing. Paul got this. He was opposed in suffering, and his answer was, God has made me sufficient. I pray we would also understand and live. We confess, Lord, we know this is the road less traveled. It is narrow and it is hard, but it leads to life. So I pray we choose. I pray we choose today by your grace and spirit to rely on you. And even as we respond right now, we pray this together in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll stand as we respond together.
So happy to have you listening again today at Live in the Light. Each day we strive to share faithful and passionate preaching of God's word to strengthen his people and his church. If you want to hear more from Pastor Robbie, you can find past series and messages at our website, liveinthelight.ca, or on our podcasts available on Apple, Spotify, or Google Podcasts. Hope you'll join us again next time on Live in the Light. I wanna be-